Yeah, I told the team this morning we're going to do something different because, like so many, it's really easy to fall into habits. It's easy to fall into monkey see, monkey do. It's easy to mindlessly sing the lyrics of a song. And we fall into those habits and we don't often stop and think about what we're doing. And we've bought into the common perception that worship means singing songs. It doesn't. Worship may be expressed in the singing of songs, but worship is a condition of the heart whereby we give full and complete devotion to one who is greater than we are. And that involves a bunch of things. It involves several different ways of doing things, and I'm going to explore some of that for a moment, and then we're going to practice what I'm opening up to you this morning. Now, before we fire this first slide, there's a word on that slide that needs a moment of explanation. In the Apostles' Creed, it refers to the Catholic Church, small c. Now, that does not mean the Roman Catholic Church. Catholic in that context means this, the church universal, all of the followers of Jesus. It relates most specifically back to the ancient undivided church before people started having differences of opinion and going their own way. That was before we had the blue carpet churches and the red carpet churches and the padded chair churches and the hard pew churches, and we're going to use instruments and we're not going to use instruments churches. It goes back to a time before that when it was people who were devoted to God through Christ. So when you see that word, don't be shocked. If we would this morning, I'd like to read that together. And to honor God this morning as we do that, if you can, would you stand? The Apostles' Creed, and read with me, please. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day He rose from the dead, He ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You can be seated. That creed and some other creeds that followed it were constructed to consolidate or express the core beliefs of a Christian in a time when the church was rapidly expanding from a completed Jewish core to more and more Gentiles with different cultural backgrounds and different understandings. It was going from a group of people at its core that had a basic understanding of who God is and what God wants us to do based on the Old Testament scriptures, the Torah. Based on that, it was expanding to groups of people who did not have that foundation. And so the early church fathers thought it prudent to have a statement of faith. What do we believe? What do we stand on? What do we stand for? And therefore church creeds became important. But here's the thing. I'm talking about worship this morning and how it's more than singing a song, how it flows from the heart. If those words are not your foundation, if that is not what you believe, you can flap your gums all you want to, and it ain't worship. You can say what you want to say. You can express what you think you believe. But if it's not on that foundation, then the foundation is shaky. Fire the first scripture, Trish. John 4:24. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. In spirit and in truth. Well, let's approach the truth part first. Christian, where do you find the truth? In the Word of God, right? Whatever we believe, however we express what we believe, if it is not based on the words of the truth, it's false. Now, what do we call whatever is not the truth? A lie. So is your life based on a truth or a lie? Is your worship based on truth or on a lie? And I'll say this, a lot of popular, quote, Christian, quote, end quote, music today is based on a lie. And it's based on a lie because God is not at the center of it. Man is at the center of it. I want, I feel, it's about me. This, you know, it makes me do this, I do that. I want to do this, I want to feel that way. That puts man at the center of the words you're singing. And those things are not the core truth. They miss the purpose. God's got to be at the center of it. Have you noticed how many modern songs never mention the word God, the name Jesus? There's lots of he's and hims. Well, he could be James Combs back there. Him could be Bruce. Who are we worshiping? We're worshiping God through Christ. And if you're ashamed of the name, I believe the Scripture says, I'll be ashamed of you when it comes to the judgment. Doesn't it? You know, so that's an important thing. The name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. In spirit. Now, this is where the church, the broad spectrum of the whole church, is in a state of mayhem. Everybody watch the TV commercials, the insurance commercials with mayhem? Okay? This is the modern church. Because there are some people that read that word, worship him in spirit, and to some folks that may mean quietly and reverently from an understanding and a relationship of who God is. And you go to another church and you got people climbing the wall. Okay? What does it mean to worship God in spirit? That means, biblically speaking, a communion between your spirit, human being, and the Spirit of God. And that's going to be in agreement. Sometimes you may be excited by that. Sometimes you may be saddened by that if the Spirit is grieved about something that's going on. Sometimes you may fall on your face and say, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips dwelling in the midst of a people of unclean lips. And the next day you may climb up in your chair and shout. But worshiping in spirit means spirit-led. It doesn't mean something weird. It doesn't mean we have to be solemn and reverent. It means your spirit in communion with God's Spirit. That is the heart of worship. Must worship in spirit and in truth. Remember, worship means what? Devotion, right? It's a total devotion. I am in the presence of one so much greater than I that all I can do is bow down. Or all I can do is clasp his knees. All I can do is try to touch the hem of his garment. Psalm 100, verses 3 through 5. Know that the Lord, he is God. There's the basis of all of it, isn't it? It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. Oh, modern world, if you're a self-made man, you're in trouble. If your foundation is self-made, you're believing a lie. Because without God, there is no foundation. It is He who made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. I could go on for about an hour and tell you how stupid sheep are sometimes. Had one sit right here and eat my shoestring one Sunday morning. Sheep are in trouble if shepherd don't take care of them. We enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. Now I want you to look carefully, starting there at verse 4. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. When you're coming to the temple to worship, you're coming in the gates. Now, we don't have any gates, but we got a parking lot. Are you thankful? Scripture teaches us much about being thankful, and it tells us to be even thankful when something unpleasant's going on. Well, that's hard to do, but it isn't if you see the big picture. And enter His courts. That's like the temple courts. That's like we got the court of the foyer out here, and we've got the court of the fellowship hall back there, and we've got the court of the sanctuary in here. With praise. Well, what is praise? Praise celebrates the person that you're praising. If I was to say that Miley is a wonderful mother, was a wonderful mother, and she is a wonderful grandma, that's about her. It ain't about me. It's not about the children or the grandchildren. I'm focused on her. That's where we're supposed to praise God, right? And be thankful to Him and bless His name. Well, God doesn't need me to bless Him. No, but He loves it when you do bless Him. It is a blessing to Him when you celebrate who He is and what He stands for. When you're thankful to Him for what He has done. That blesses God. You parents and grandparents, when that child toddles up and hands you a handmade card and says, "I love you, Grandma," that's something. Right? That's not a 24-karat diamond. It's not a gold bar. It's more than those things. It's more than that. I remember years ago when I was at the Methodist Church, we did a Bible school. It was a Gospel Bill Bible school, as a matter of fact. Tell you how long ago it was. But at the end of the last day, I was the director of the Bible school. Myla and I worked together on it. And this little girl toddles up to me and hands me a note. Said, "Thank you for a happy time." That's still stuffed in one of my Bibles at home somewhere. You know, and that was, what, 30 years ago? It's stuff like that that make you feel good. How do you think it makes God feel when you say thank you? When you say that meant something to me? Because right now, what I have said to you gives us a pattern. Our worship should be based on that pattern of thanksgiving and praise and blessing God. So we're going to practice. "I don't want to go to practice, coach." Well, you can't play if you don't go to practice. Let's give God thanks for what He's done. I'll give you a few conversation starters, and then I'll let you, some of you respond. We need to be thankful to God for creating this world that we live in. For creating us, for creating all of those things out there that we enjoy about living, for family and friends, for a church family. We need to thank God for this life that we live. Now, this life that we live's got some bumps in the road, doesn't it? But you're alive. God gave you that gift. I got up this morning and I was breathing. I was able to get out of bed. Took a while. But I was able to get out of bed this morning. That's worthy of thanking God for, because it is He who gives us breath. It is He who gives us life. We need to thank Him for His love and care. He loved me when I was unlovable, and oh, by the way, sometimes I still am. Y'all are too. He cared for me when I was too stupid to care for myself, spiritually, physically, in all sorts of ways. Thank you, God, for that. I thank God that He sent Jesus. Because, you know, without Jesus, there's no remission of sin. Bible says we're hellbound without Jesus. Thank you, God, for sending Jesus. Thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to lead God and direct us, to empower us, to lead us in the path that we should go, to open up all truth, to teach us what Jesus taught us. Thank you, God, for sending the Holy Spirit. Thank you for salvation and a free pardon of sin. You said all I have to do is repent, and you'll forgive me. Didn't have to do that, but he did. Thank you, God, for my physical family, for my church family. Thank you for the good times that I have enjoyed, and thank you for the hard times that I have endured, because you walked with me through those hard times. I could not have done it without you. Sometimes you just got to learn to let go, and sometimes you got to get kicked in the kneecap before you learn to let go. Is that right? Thank you for the lessons that I have learned. Thank you, God, for my new life, for forgiveness of sins, for my adoption as your son. Now, how about you, church? Somebody thank God for something in their life. Who else? Amen. Thank you for taking the brokenness and making it whole. Well, that sums it up in a nutshell. What else are you thankful for, church? Coming back to get you. What else? The freedom. Yeah, no bondage anymore. Only bondage we got to deal with these days is the kind we bind ourselves up with, and that's a whole nother sermon. What else, church? Thank God for something. Been with you in those hard times. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Isn't that the promise? Who else? Amen. For favor. You had favor. Kathy? Deliverance. Okay. That's that bondage thing again, deliverance from bondage. Anybody else? Church family. Wanda, did I see your hand? Mercy and grace and love. I saw another hand. Karen. Amen. Amen. You see, if we don't have a little thanksgiving in our worship of God every day, we start to take things for granted. And the more you take things for granted, the more you climb up on the throne of life yourself and don't need God. At least you don't think you do. Until the wheels fall off the apple cart again, and then you need Him. That's the story of the Israelites through their whole sojourn, you know, the whole time they were in the promised land. It was, they trusted God, God delivered them. They got complacent, forgot God. The enemies were sent against them, oh, by the way, by God, to get their attention so they'd come back. And then they'd repent, and then they'd follow God for a while, and they'd get complacent again. Me too. Y'all too, I'm pretty sure. We follow that roller coaster ride. We chase God when we think we need Him, and we shelve Him when we don't think we need Him. And when it's going good, sometimes you don't think you need Him. We stick Him on the shelf, then we got to go hunt Him when the enemy comes beating at your door. All right, let's practice the next step. Let's practice praise. Praise, remember, is about who he is. It's about his character. It's about what makes him who he is. We use all these fancy churchy words. We say God is omnipotent, he is omniscient, and he is omnipresent. Omnipotent. He is all-powerful. He spoke all that is into existence with the words of his mouth. He is omniscient. He knows all. There is no past or no present or no future with God. He knows all. The entire spectrum from the creation until eternity future, he knows. He is omnipresent. He is everywhere all the time. Where can I go from you? Scripture tells us. If I go to the depths of the sea, you're there. If I go to the top of the mountain, you're there. I can't run from you. You're everywhere. I remember the prophet that tried to run from God. God fueled him up and let him run for 40 days. Ends up in a cave. Who does he find in the cave? God. You can't run from him. He was when the prophet Jonah was called, it was God. When Jonah was in the belly of the whale, it was God preserving him in the belly of the whale. And when he spit him out and he ran to Nineveh, God was with him there. And when he got disappointed after that whole thing, God was still there. You can't get away from him. He is God, you are omnipotent. You are omniscient. You are omnipresent. You are holy God and set apart. You are righteous. You are glorious. You are both just and merciful. What does that mean? Just says, I made the rules. I judge you by what I said. But merciful says, I'll give you a way out of the consequences, and that way's Jesus. Just and merciful. He is long-suffering and patient, and how many are glad that he is? That's one of those, I can just see him sometimes. Will you come on? You ever do that with a child? Just come on. I think that's God. We get distracted by every shiny thing along the road. And God said, give my hand. Come on. Let's go. He's also persistent. Open the door. Let me in. I'm still here. I'm glad he's persistent. Because I tell you what, we are stubborn and bullheaded people. I'm speaking it myself. And I know some of you. He is sufficient in and of himself. God doesn't need anything. God doesn't need you. God doesn't need your billfold. God doesn't need your talent. God doesn't need any of those things, but he graciously accepts whatever you have to offer. The widow's mite or the rich man's bag of gold, it's all the same to God. It's because of how you give and what you give. Are you giving? Scripture says we have not because we ask not or we ask amiss to use it for ourselves. Folks, we need to remember that one. God, we give you praise because of your perfect wisdom. You want to figure out what your next step ought to be? Ask the one who already knows. Perfectly wise. God, we thank you that you're faithful and you're good and you're gracious. Well, what does gracious mean? He wants to help you. He wants to help you be what he wants you to be. And not only is he offering you this wonderful salvation, not only is he offering you a new start and a new life, he's offering you the power to live that through his grace and then turn around and you can offer it to somebody else. That's a blessing. Bruce talked about ministries a minute ago. If you're a Christian, you're a minister. You may never stand behind a pulpit or lead a class, but if you're a Christian, you're a minister. And I thank you, God, because you're unchanging. I give you praise because your nature changes not. I am the Lord, I changeth not, Scripture tells us. Somebody give God praise for who he is. Come on, church. He's a God that wants to lift us up. What else? Give God praise for something, folks. So we can see his beauty and his complexity and all of the things that he loved, we can see through that which he has created. It was a creation in its purest form is a reflection of who God is. Give him praise, church. Amen. His sacrificial love is part of who he is. He's the lifter of your head. Yeah. The thing that held Jesus on that cross was not his Father's command. It was not some kind of show, and it sure wasn't the nails and the thongs. It was love. And that is, if you want to sum up all of God's nature and give him praise for who he is love. In all of its aspects. And love isn't always rose petals and hugs. Sometimes love is thorns and a swift kick. Sometimes love is, okay, you asked for it. Come and see me when you decide to crawl out of your ditch. I'll be here. Love wears a lot of different, I don't want to say masks, but a lot of different countenances. And there are times when we need tough love, and there are times when we need tender love. There are times when we need strength in love. There are so many ways that God reflects himself to and through us. We'll pray. Father, this was a different time of worship. This was a time of reflection and remembering that which is important. So the next time, Lord, that we gather together and we play instruments and we sing songs, let us remember what we've talked about this morning. Let us remember what true worship is, not the singing of songs, but the expression from heart to heart of thanks and love and appreciation of all you have done and all that you are. And Father, let our worship be personal. Never let us go through the motions, Lord. If we catch ourselves going through the motions, I want you to just kind of jerk us and wake us up. Because Father, you're worthy of our best. And that doesn't mean excellence in performance or excellence in singing. It means an offering from a pure heart. It means an offering that's based on a true relationship with you. And that, Father, is our true worship to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.